Hornets, Yellow Jackets, you can give us a call, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569 or shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World has been brought to you by Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Listening to Martha Norwalk's Animal World right here on your alternative talk station, 1150 AM KKNW Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle. We're a forum for women and the men who love us, who want to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Join us now 5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. to be inspired, educated, all with fun and love. Be sure to visit our website, chatwithwomen.com.
If you're interested in reaching thousands of women, for sponsorship information, email us at info@chatwithwomen.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animal companions. We've moved from Tuesdays at 5 to our new time, Wednesdays at noon to 1 p.m. We talk about animal communication, how to communicate with and understand your animal kids better, life from the animal's point of view, and alternative ways of relating to those wonderful animal companions. I take your calls and talk directly with your animals about anything you'd like. Health, behavior, emotions, upcoming events in your lives, or just have fun conversations. I even talk with deceased animals and humans. This show is dedicated to taking your calls and talking with your animals. Twice a month, we feature guests who talk about their specialties and answer your questions. Animals have amazing and wonderful things to say. Be sure to join us for an informative, fun, interesting, educational, and definitely unique hour of radio listening at our new time every Wednesday at 12 noon for Joy Turner's Talk With Your Animals, the show both you and your pets are going to love.
When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com, N-O-R-W-A-L-K, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, you can be in touch with us while we're on the air in several different ways, and there'll be reasons for you to call today. Number one, we still have copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For, in the Animal World Prize Closet. Sandy would be delighted to give you one. And by the way, Ann will be joining us in September. Will be her next show with us because the latest edition, the third edition of Food Pets Die For, is coming out. And so she'll have all kinds of new information. We'll be talking with her about that. And, of course, we've got open phone lines now to the end of the show for our subject at hand, bees and wasps. Kelly Louvier, beekeeper, is here. Doug Cheney, a wasp expert and venom collector, is here. We'll find out more about that as well. And if you have a question about bees or wasps, anything that you want covered this week, do give us a call. You can call the local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Long distance within Western Washington is 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569. And our live email address, to be used only when we're on the air, is animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, you can be in touch with Animal World anytime through the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. There's lots of great information for you there. Click on shelters for the shelter stuff. Click on current events for the current event stuff. On the home page, there is a new link for audio files because we are archiving the shows now, and because we're trying not to repeat a lot of what we talked about 2 weeks ago, you can go to the MarthaNorwalk.com, click on the audio files, and pick up the show from the first Sunday of July, and the hours are loaded separately, so you can listen an hour at a time, and you can hear everything that Doug and Kelly taught us 2 weeks ago. We're continuing from there. Now, if you want to get a hold of me when we're not on the air, there is an email link, contact Martha on the website, or you can address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. If you are submitting a current events item, please do so via email because it's easier for me to get to the webmaster that way. And if you need to mail something to Animal World, the Animal World mailing address is 4012. 41st Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98105. Now, if you need me as far as an animal behavior therapist goes or trainer, I would be delighted to help you with your animal friends, help you understand them, solve problems. It is always worth giving me a call because I do a free telephone evaluation. You reach me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. I work with you in your home or over the phone. I do not work via email, so do call and bug my voicemail, 206-525-2016. If you need to get a hold of Sandy, you can do so through her website, which is www.animalnature.com. If you need to get a hold of Kelly. Now, Kelly, people would call you about swarms, right?
Sure.
Swarms of honeybees. It's Kelly Louvier. You can reach her at 425-891-8080. And, Doug, people call you about wasps, hornets, yellow jackets.
Yes, they do.
And you can help out there. Doug's phone number is 425-485-0103. That's 425-485-0103. Or you can email him. His email address is venomcollect4free, venomcollect4free at comcast.net. All right. Well, as is my usual policy, when we have open phone lines, phone calls take precedence. So we've got a caller on the line. Let's go to South City. Maria, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Kelly and Doug.
Hi. Actually, it's Fall City.
Fall City. All right. Well, in Fall City, Maria, what can we do for you?
We have a huge nest attached to our garage door, and we're pretty sure that it's yellow jacket. And we're not, we're feeling nervous every time it's on my side of the garage. I open up the garage to park the car.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a lot of bees there, and we don't know what to do with it.
Well, what does it look like?
It's It's about the size of a basketball.
Oh.
It's kind of grayish brown.
Okay.
It's shaped a little more like a cone. It's definitely shaped like a cone, and it has a hole in the front.
All right, Doug, sounds like your department here.
Because it's not bees.
Yeah, it's wasps. But no, that's a yellow hornet nest, and you probably should be concerned that it's so close in to where you're doing stuff. Sometimes those garage doors, the opening and closing, it will give a vibration to the substrate that the nest is hanging on there. And again, without seeing it, it seems like the good news is that they won't be there next year. But again, what do you do with them now?
So yeah. That's important. So, like this, she's got this big basketball-size hive there.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that next year it will get even bigger, but they don't go back. They die off.
At least up in our area here, they think of them as just being an annual.
Okay.
Maybe in a warmer climate, it's like the killer bees, where it's warmer. They have more activity, and again, they sometimes can go perennial. But up here, it's just one season, and they're out of there.
If you can leave them alone and they're not bothering you, you know that they'll be gone after this season. Is that true?
That's true.
What time is the season, just so everyone knows? Isn't it about November?
Well, I wouldn't, again, the yellow hornets, I also call them the early hornets just because they're the first ones to start in the season, and they're not really a late summer insect.
And when you say yellow hornet, you're talking about like what I would think of as a yellow jacket,
yeah,
a yellow black stripe?
Again, yellow hornet, aerial yellow jacket, that works, that's fine.
Okay, that's the same thing. All right.
The thing is that possibly that's getting a lot of direct... Maria, does that get a lot of direct sun?
Yes, it does.
That's one reason why it's so large is because they lay on a lot of extra paper for insulation. And during the heat of the day... You may have watched them or listened to them, but they'll be in there fanning the air around just like Kelly's bees do because they get too hot in there. And I think it's probably because it affects the brood. And it's not necessarily an indication of how much the comb on the inside has grown or expanded. And so, again, the question is, what do you do? Well, you've got one option of living with them. Second option is, I suppose, gassing them or maybe snagging off there real quick at night. Which I don't like that option at all. Unless you're dressed up, it might be okay. I'm sorry.
Are they going to bother us, or should we just, like, ignore them?
Well, let's put it this way. You've made it this far so far without any stings. You must be doing something right there.
Right. But now it's actually, when I raise and lower the garage, it's actually attaching itself to my door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I could try not to go in and out, but our boat's in there, and we take it in and out during the summer, so I don't want to disrupt the nest.
Right.
Can't she call you? I mean, would you go
You
that
could
way?
Call me. I'm not necessarily the end solution. What I do is actually trim down the numbers significantly. There still would be some activity there, and the nest would still remain, and again... you still have that problem real close there.
Well, explain to us, Doug, what do you do?
Well, I'm going to vacuum them up with a vacuum cleaner. There's kind of a tube in the airflow line that pulls the wasps into there, and then eventually they're frozen to preserve the venom correctly. So this allergy product can be made from it.
Yeah, because that's the neat thing about what Doug does, Maria, is that if you decide that these hornets need to die, instead of just killing them, at least Doug collects them and they go to making allergy injections for humans.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Also, you can go to the Puget Sound Beekeepers website, PugetSoundBees.org, and the swarm list on there on the left-hand side, there's, besides us that collect bees, there's a number system that people that do collect yellow jackets, if you want to completely get rid of the nest, and there's a couple of names on there. I know Jerry Mixon is one of them. For people that, if you can't get a hold of Doug, Doug's, I think, the best source because of the venom, but for everyone to know, on the swarm list, there are people that deal with yellow jackets.
That will come and just kill them.
Yes.
Okay. But kind of voting for, if you have to kill them, the venom might as well be used, and that's where Doug comes in.
Right.
Are you, like, really swamped this time of year, Doug?
Oh, yeah.
They're like covered with wasps?
Anybody that's crazy enough to advertise for free removal of the hornets is going to get a lot of calls. But, yeah, it's that's mainly my argument is that, you know, before you have to finalize and kill them, that it's nice if the if I could come and get some of them out of there before that happens.
Okay. And again, well,
now, did you write down Doug's phone number, Maria?
No, I haven't, so I'll take that now.
Okay, 425-485-0103.
Okay.
So now he's not there now, but you could call and leave him a voicemail message, and you go to Fall City, Doug?
I'm actually going to be driving through Fall City today, but I'm probably have a pretty full schedule today.
But, okay. Well, I'll call and leave a message anyway.
All right, super. That's appreciated.
Now we're going to, Maria, we're also going to be talking about, we've got to take a quick break here, but we're going to be talking to Doug about if you need to kill wasps on your own, that for whatever reason you can't call Doug or someone else to deal with it. We're going to get his advice as to how to do that, because apparently there's some things we need to know about that. So stay tuned and keep listening, okay?
I'll do that. Thanks so
much. All right, Maria, thanks for calling Animal World.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we will continue with bees, wasps, hornets, and yellow jackets. Stay with us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. And they've always got hot sales going on up there, so it's worth the trip to Jones & Company. Let's see, right now they've got Carefresh Pet Bedding in the 60-liter size on sale for $14.99. Avo Natural Lamb and Rice, 35 pounds, on sale for $34.99. Worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets. Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Hey, I can't believe this jewel of a place escaped my radar for so long. Now that I've discovered it, you have to know about it, too. It's the Natural Pet Pantry in Old Town Burien. Jackie, the owner, is an extraordinary woman and has been making home-prepared raw food diets as well as home-cooked diets and treats for our dog and cat friends for well over 5 years now. You'll also find packaged frozen bones, poultry necks, and vegetables. Even custom-made recipes are available, and she'll deliver free to your home. Give them a call at 206-248-1079 or www.naturalpetpantry.com. Visit them soon because it just makes sense.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Norwalk, and now we're just getting rolling on the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And it is part two of bees, wasps, hornets, and yellow jackets. Kelly Louvier, beekeepers in the studio with us. Doug Cheney is here, wasp expert and venom collector. Doug, we've been talking to you about the yellow jackets. We were just talking to Maria about the big basketball size nest she has outside of her garage. That's pretty common this time of year, isn't it?
I'm looking at more basketballs every day.
Yeah?
Sometimes they're big as a watermelon.
Well, yeah.
The big watermelon.
Now, when you said there's a hive that size, how many hornets do you think are like in a hive?
Well,
like that?
It varies quite a bit, but you know, a fully mature nest usually is going to be about maybe 500 to 800, maybe 1,000, maybe even a few more than that. I collected a nest yesterday that had 4.5 ounces in it, and if you figure about 275 or 300 to an ounce, you know, that was a sizable nest.
4 ounces, meaning that's how much the bees weighed?
That's how much the wasps
Or the wasps,
weighed.
Excuse me, the wasps weighed.
Don't blame my honeybees.
Yeah, that's right. I still confuse it, but and they really are different.
They are.
Now, are they related? Are bees and wasps related, or are they totally different?
I don't think that they're related. I mean, sure, they've got wings, they sting, and they fly, and they're social. They're related in a sense, but they're actually different critters.
They do have some relation, but, wasps, yellow jackets, they are carnivorous. They eat meat, and honeybees only collect pollen and nectar. So they're technically vegetarians.
Do bees and wasps have a similar social structure and live similarly?
Absolutely. They're classified the same way as bees and the ants are. They're a social insect.
Yes.
There's a queen, there's drones, there's workers, there's a goal. The workers have assignments that they're supposed to be doing, and I kind of like to preface Kelly's statement about them being meat eaters. I mean, I don't know, when they're out there catching those aphids, gnats, mosquitoes, and flies and things like that and taking the juices or the body parts back to the nest, they actually are taking some of the fluids or body parts back to the nest and giving it to the larvae that grew from the egg the queen laid in the cell. And then in an ideal wasp world, the larvae is going to give that worker a drop of liquid, and that's truly what sustains them. You know, again, yeah, certainly.
And that's why wasps and hornets are so valuable, is because they eat lots of bugs.
Yes, they're out
right?
there working on mosquitoes out there,
They hunt spiders and flies. They serve a tremendous purpose. They're important. Even mosquitoes are important. Everything we have is important.
Everything's got a function.
Yes.
It's all part of the web.
Yeah. Hmm. So when you come out, did you say, do you use a vacuum, Doug, to vacuum?
Oh, sure.
The
I
wasps?
Use a vacuum, and there's kind of a tube in the airflow line that has a filter on one end that the wasps are going to be pulled into there. And then after a while, you take the tube with the hornets and drop it into a cooler with dry ice and flash freeze them right there. That's how the venom has to be preserved if this product is going to work. They cannot die of heat. Mm. And again, talking with Maria, I like to think of myself as being a collector rather than an exterminator. Again, that's a whole other realm as far as pulling out the nest and taking care of them totally. You know, and if a lot of times people can live peacefully coexist with them till they fizzle out in the fall or late summer. And, a lot of times after seeing what they've got and talking with the people, will let them go, because they don't really, they're not up close and personal like over the front porch and or someplace where they have a lot of activities around their area.
Well, and I since I've been learning about all these insects with you guys, I'm much more observant and watching. And we talked a little bit last time about the different kinds of wasps, mm-hmm. and that there are social wasps and solitary wasps.
Right.
I think you called them the true paper wasp.
Right.
They're the ones that make the little open cones that are about the size of a silver dollar that you usually see up inside the eaves. Mm-hmm. And I have one of those on the side of my cat run that was there last year. And I decided that since it was up in the corner of the cat run, and that I was not going to bother with it. Now, it didn't get more than the size of a silver dollar, and there were a few, and what I would call long yellow jackets, because they were yellow, they're yellow and black striped, but they have a longer abdomen. And there was a number of them working that little cone. Maybe
right.
Four or five or six of them or something like that.
Now, the way I understand it is they're all females, and one of them becomes the dominant female and the egg layer. But, again, they never do very much. That little piece of comb is about it, but they make up for it by eventually having a lot of those little combs. And one of the distinctions between that solitary wasp and your social wasps, which again are the yellow jackets and the hornets, is that that solitary wasp is going to they're going to hibernate someplace in the wintertime. You'll see that comb up there with nothing on it, but they will come back to that comb in the spring. Excuse me. And you can knock that comb down in the wintertime, but they're going to come back and build it right there again. And I think that this is just because they don't have much to work with. You know, there's just one or two wasps, and again, they found success at that particular spot. Oh. They've survived right there, and by golly, we're coming back right there, and that's where we are. And again, they never do very much. It's usually just a small comb, although sometimes you can find larger plates. I took some out of the Seattle Tilth down there one time in their greenhouse that were maybe 6 or 8 inches across and had, you know, maybe 20 or 30 wasps on all of them. And
well, you know, now that you mention that, I remember where I had my horse boarded, Dan, up at the farm in their barns. I remember there were some of the open combs. And they were much bigger. They were maybe, like you said, 6-8 inches in diameter. It seemed like there were lots of wasps.
Well, one thing that I run into all the time is that people don't know that the hornets and the yellow jackets only are going to use that nest one season here, and then they move on, so to speak. And they'll start the new reproductives for next season after they have warmed up in the springtime. They're going to start flying around, and you'll see these rather large yellow jackets maybe buzzing around your eave or something in the spring, and you'll hear this and you'll see them and you'll wonder. They're kind of looking for a place to establish a brand new site.
So they won't go back to the same big nest, and others won't then use it. So
no.
Once a nest is done, it's done. Now, does that apply for the wasps that are underground as well?
Same thing, yeah.
They won't use it again.
Right. And you were asking about bees and kind of their relation to wasps. I try to tell people bees are kind of more closely related to butterflies. If we can kind of change our perception of these sweet little honeybees that I take care of and other people do too, they make cocoons and they metamorphose and come out fully emerged, just like how we wonder at butterflies. And bees do the same thing. They have a gestation period inside a cocoon. In that honeycomb that we've seen at the store or at farmer's market, each one of those hexagon cells, they raise the babies in there, they lay an egg, and then it becomes a larva and then a pupa, and then it emerges fully formed. And so they have a straw like mouth, just like butterflies do, and they only go for nectar. And if we can really change our perception, I hope people can hear me out there, that they're different than yellow jackets and wasps, but I really have respect for yellow jackets and wasps, because without them we'd just be covered in bugs that we don't like either, that also those bugs that we're afraid of serve a purpose too. I mean, insects are so crucial to us, we just have no idea.
Yeah, they are real important. I know that I have a much greater appreciation for them than I've ever had before. And then the more, you know, shows we do with you guys, the more I learn and the more fascinated I am. Like, I think I have a really screwed up wasp in my cat run because I didn't have a chance to tell you last time, folks, but I had this little paper, you know, open comb inside my cat run last year. And then, of course, over the winter, nothing happened. Well, it was the last week of April when I was getting my back deck, you know, cleaned up for spring and summer. And I have an umbrella over the table. And I opened the umbrella, just cleaning up the table, and boing, this big wasp fell out. And again, it was one of those long, what I'd call a long yellow jacket.
It's a sleeping queen.
Yeah, and I figured it was a hibernating queen.
because it fell out on the table, and so I just kind of washed it, and it was kind of like how rude, you know, and so it seemed kind of disoriented and slow and stuff, and kind of hung out on the table for quite a, you know, long time.
You have to warm up.
Yeah, and eventually it flew away, and then sure enough, when I looked out the window into the cat run, it had gone to that the little open comb there. Now that comb had been there over the winter, and I don't know, you know, they kind of deteriorated, sort of cracked in the middle and all of that, but this one wasp has been working their butt off on this comb, and this is since the last week of April. And it's there, you know, it flies off for a while, it comes back. I've never seen it go butt first into the combs, but it goes head first in like it's trying to feed something. But there's nothing there.
Have you looked at it really closely?
Yeah. I mean, it's yeah, I get my little binoculars out, like Doug says. Yeah,
well, she's talking about looking at it inches away or so to see, because those eggs are awfully small.
Yeah.
Would you?
But there might be something going on you can't see.
Well, then I guess I'm going to have to climb up and look at it. Like, gee, I'm getting really like, brave if I'm going to climb up and look
keep
right.
Keep me around. I'll get you climbing up trees.
I would, you know, you might be a little cautious about that.
Yeah, of course.
You get close to those Polistes wasps, but they start...
Well, if there's a wasp around...
They feel the pressure, and so,
yeah.
You know, you get...
So I should be careful.
Well, again, it's probably not a good idea to get your nose up that close to the... if you want to try to see what's inside there.
All right, well, I think you've convinced me. I won't. But I'm just curious, because I would have thought that there would have been some hatching, or there would be more than one of them by now, because there were multiple ones last year working that one comb, but it's only the one, and I can't see anything, because last year I would, you know, could see the white inside those little individual,
right.
Whatever you call them.
That's the cap they spin over the top of the cell when the...
Yeah, they would have that cap on them, but there are no caps on any of them, I can tell you that. So, I don't know, I thought maybe it was
She could be sterile, and she just can't lay eggs, and she's alive, though, you know? I mean, that's possible, and so she's just cleaning house.
Well,
I'm sure
it's the one that fell out of the umbrella.
Yeah, she may be sterile, or she may have...
Now, do only queen wasps hibernate? Do the rest of them die off, Doug?
I believe that they all hibernate. I'm not sure that the workers... so to speak, die off. I think they all hibernate.
And then they just start up a new place, though. They don't go back to the old place, except for these little paper wasps.
Right.
The little open ones, they will go back to the same ones. All right. Now, we were talking about getting rid of them, and one, if you need to get rid of the wasps, we would like, if possible, for them to go to venom. Rather than just having to die. But Doug's also saying if you can live with them through the season.
And not put your family in danger. I mean,
right.
Any time we have to consider ourselves.
If you're in danger, that's different. But if you can live with them, then they won't come back. They won't be in that hive next year. But let's say that you can't live with them. And they need to go away. And let's, for whatever reason, we can't call Doug, or Doug's too busy or something. But and you're free, so there isn't a money excuse here. You'll come get them for the venom for
right,
free.
Right, that's the majority of the hornets. But again, I'm a collector, not an exterminator. And if they want to go the next step, certainly there are a lot of competent exterminators out there that can handle it. As Kelly said, they have on their website, they have a couple of beekeepers that you know, can do it too, possibly at a less cost. And I think a lot of times the homeowners can actually handle it themselves, just depending.
So is it okay to just go to the hardware store and buy the wasp killer cans?
Well, there's all different kinds of wasp killer out there, the wasp hornet yellow jacket killers. There is one product, though, that I've known about for about 3-4 years now, and it's a mint oil based spray.
Mint?
M-I-N-T, mint.
Mint oil. Oh.
And it's just a lot less toxic to the environment and to the operator. And I recommend that to everybody if they're going to, you know, go get some spray, that they seek out that mint oil spray. And
where do you have idea?
Oh, any of the hardware stores should have it. Freddy's or Home Depot.
Do
we know what the name
is? It's made by Victor the Mousetrap people. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what the actual name of it is.
Made by Victor, and it's a mint oil.
spray.
And it's better than those cans. Those cans are so toxic for the environment and for the people using them. I mean, they're...
Well, does this stuff come in a can, too?
This is an aerosol spray.
Aerosol spray.
And I believe it's a 25-foot type of thing. And again, people, you want to be careful that you're not downwind from this when you spray. And again, winds can come up. And I don't know. I always get kind of leery of hearing people out there with two cans, like, just blasting away in the middle of the night at something, mm-hmm. you know, 25 feet in the air, and it's coming down on their So, but...
Is that the best time to deal with it at night?
Well, the thing is, there's another thing that I think people ought to be cautious about is that most of the poisons, on the back of the can, it'll say, wait till at night when they're in their dormant, and it gives people kind of a false sense of security that they can go out there at night and do things with these hornets, and there's not going to be a reaction, you know, as though they're in there dormant with the covers pulled up, sleeping, and, you know.
They aren't?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
No.
I always thought they were.
No. They may be moving a little slower, but they can get active just like that. And even at night, they can, you know, I had a lady call me the other day. It said that she... was trying to do something with this very small nest of ball-faced hornets, which they're just starting to get going now, and maybe the nest are about the size of a softball or so. She jostled the limb first, and then she just stood there hoping that they wouldn't see her second. And she asked me, did I do something wrong? And I said, yeah, all of the above, you know.
Well, she was still alive.
Well, she made it, but she got stung 5 times through the process, you know.
Ooh.
That's too bad. But, this, again, when so many people, again, they call the hornets and the yellow jackets bees, you know, my main problem with that is that people will associate traits of bees with traits of yellow jackets, you know, and again, sometimes people just think they can go out there like Kelly does with her bees and sort of put some sort of a charm on these hornets and yellow jackets.
Right.
And it's not that way with these. They're not trackable like bees. They're very unpredictable, and it won't work. Trust us.
Well, in yellow jackets and wasps versus honeybees, they can sting. Wasps and yellow jackets can sting again and again and again. They don't have a barbed stinger, whereas a honeybee, because it's only the females that have stingers.
Oh, the boys can't sting either.
No, they cannot.
Sounds like the boys aren't good for much.
I know.
The women are the defenders.
The boys are good for sex only, sounds like.
And body heat. Don't forget, they're like the little water bottle at night. They keep the girls
warm. At night. And they fertilize the females, and that's about it.
That's right.
They can't even sting.
But the females, I guess, could say get their revenge, because in the fall, when sources for flowers get really scarce and then they have to bundle away for the winter, they kick all the drones, the males, out. And they starve them off, and they literally throw them out. Like
they throw the men out.
I have watched this where they have literally one worker girl, female, will be on holding the two front legs, and then another one will be on the back, and they'll be swinging it back and forth and fling it out.
Fling it! Oh no!
Yeah, and then there's no drones for the winter to eat up all that food. Now, when they need the drones again, the males for mating purposes in the spring, only when the colony is really flourishing and strong, they will make. The males. If they're at all compromised, no males.
No males.
Because they can't afford to have them be eating and hanging out. So, and when I look in my hive...
They literally kick them out for the winter.
Yeah, they starve them off, they fight them, they push them with their heads, they do not let them in.
Well, I'll be darned.
So, but
those honeybees are smarter than you give them credit for.
But as I was saying about the honeybees, if they sting you, if a female worker stings you, when she stings you, she's going to die. And so,
because
it doesn't really serve her.
Because the stinger is barbed.
It's barbed.
So it stays in whatever was stung.
Exactly. And that's why they say take a credit card or something and scrape off the stinger of a honeybee. Because it sticks in there, the venom sac is still attached. So it's squeezing out that venom into you. And that's why a lot of times people have a bad reaction. If you scrape it off right away, it may be a little sore, but it's... Honeybees are not nearly as painful as yellow jackets and wasps. And so many times people say to me, I got stung by a honeybee. It's not a honeybee, it's a wasp.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. She's bringing me a bunch of stuff. Hey, have you been listening that they kicked the boys out for the winter?
And that's what he's suggesting is exactly what I used.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I had the problem.
And it worked great.
Oh, okay.
Do you
all right,
remember
so,
the name of that?
Yeah, I brought it in.
Okay. Wasp, okay, Sandy knew about what this wasp-hornet stuff was. Here we got wasp and hornet killer poison-free. Poison-free spray, 17 and a half ounces by Victor. Mint oil, water and CO2. So you must have... This is off of, well, Sandy, is she in there, Gary?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sandy, turn on your, where did you get this?
Oh, I just pulled it off the internet. Oh, where did I buy it?
No, yeah.
I bought mine at Ace Hardware, but I believe Home Depot carries it. I'm not sure about Lowe's. It's the only non-poison.
Yeah, the can, folks, it says... I'm looking at the label here, Sandy. It says big. It says poison free at the top.
Right.
Wasp and hornet killer. Price $5.29.
Yeah, it's really
reasonable.
So it's
actually called poison free wasp and hornet killer, made by Victor. V I C T O R. It looks like you got this AG Organics website. It looks like.
Yeah, a lot of the organic sites carry it on the web.
All right, so this is what you want to look for.
You can buy it right around here at almost any hardware store.
Cool. All right, so that's what we want to look for.
And I can attest that it works wonderfully.
Yeah, and I have to say that at times, but I remember looking on the shelves for something. I don't remember ever seeing this in the places that I was looking, like at wherever I was shopping. So I guess you look around.
Well, I know for a fact that Home Depot carries it in Ace Hardware because I bought it at the Ace at Maple Valley.
Excellent. Excellent.
Or Maple Leaf.
So it's called Poison-Free Wasp and Hornet Killer. Now, Doug, did you say, I guess the reason for doing it at night, isn't it because everybody's at home? All the wasps are at home?
Exactly.
Now, is that true? They are at home at night?
That's true.
They just aren't in some drunken stupor or...
No, they didn't.
They can get active if you bug them.
Yeah, they didn't get caught at the bar. The thing is, you want to really do this after it's totally dark, because the hornets, the workers, will work catching those insects again at dusk and, just before it gets dark. That's when all those little flying insects are out there, and the wasps are out there having a party on them. But they will slow down, and eventually they'll all be in the nest late at night, and that's when you really want to do it, if you have to do it. And just as far as we're talking about this, a lot of times people will have the ground nesting yellow jackets. I've recommended that sometimes people, depending on the situation, there's just one front door going down into the ground, or there's just the hole is there. And
do they not have a back exit somewhere?
No.
Okay.
So they're quite vulnerable when they're in a situation like that, and I've recommended this to people a few times, and sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. But for a non-toxic way of dealing with them is that, for instance, at night, very gently, and again, it's better to have somebody spot at this with a flashlight from another angle, and then you can very slowly creep up there and get a rock or perhaps a
brick or something.
Brick or a garden stepping stone if it's flat surface, and get it to seal them in there to begin with, and then have a, like, let's say, a contractor's wheelbarrow full of something or other, dirt, and just dump that on top of there and try and seal them in there. And that, I remember I've had a couple people tell me that worked really well, but they will try and tunnel out of there, and if they do finally tunnel out, again, maybe you want to reapply. Sometimes they're in your garden area, you can't spray anything in there, and again, this is a way of attempting to deal with it. And don't get me wrong, Martha, I don't like telling people how to kill things, but sometimes we just have to do it.
If they're in an area where you can't avoid them, and
but I think that sealing in thing is an option, that people, if they have the the means and the way to do it, you know, they should.
So what kind of nests are you interested in for the venomous extraction? Do you take the ones below ground or the ones like in sides of houses? They get inside your houses and stuff?
Houses,
are you looking for those big basketballs?
Well, all of the above and some of not all of the above. Of course, the aerial paper ball type nests I'm interested in. Wall nests are problematic. Ones that are going in the vent up at the gable 25 feet in the air is something I don't want to do. And again, a lot of times those nests can be left, you know, and there's no problem. It's usually when people have problems is when they're going into a wall or if they're going in at the gutter area is another real favorite place for them to get into the house. And the nests a lot of times can be situated or are situated underneath the insulation material on top of the ceiling board. And again, for one reason or another, sometimes the wasp will start scraping that material and you get a hole there and, you know, the light from inside the room will go up where it's dark where they are and that will attract them into the room.
Yep.
They're really not trying to get in there. That's just something that's happening. And again, I think that there's certain things that people can do rather than killing them. Again, if you're using a poison, then you've got the nest with the larvae and the wasps slowly degrading in your wall or in the attic with that poison there, you know. And again, the wall's breathing, the house is breathing, and they've been doing it for years, but apparently there's no problem. But I think, you know, again, if people have a situation with something that's, you know, on top of the ceiling board or if they're in a wall void and you start to get a soft spot, I've always said to take it like a piece of cardboard and put a patch over that area, and then eventually they're going to fizzle out and then you can get in there and take the nest out and repair the wall. But now I think a piece of sheet metal is probably a little bit better. And you could just make a big patch depending on how big the area is and put that over there and just let them keep doing their thing till they fizzle out.
Because once again, just because they won't come back to that area.
Do not come back to that area. I mean, I've had people, you know, again, if you have a nest, think about how long it's been since you had one before. You know, usually it's just years, although there are places which seem to have something on their property, you know, fairly mm-hmm. often. But I think that's more rare than not.
Well, I certainly am the first to say from what I teach what I call the human to animal transference and how what's going on with us will often attract animals or insects into our lives because of lessons and that sort of thing. I will tell you that I do think that I have seen a correlation between human anger and wasps.
I've seen dispositions that kind of relate to how the people that own the property, again, sometimes they're just very mellow and it's easy to deal with them, but sometimes the wasps are testy for some reason, you know, and again, it's hard to understand, but I think there is that human, there might be something to that, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I believe it for sure. All right, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We will come back and take care of current events, and then we've got till noon today with Kelly and with Doug. We're opening phone lines for the last hour of the show today if you've got questions, concerns about bees or wasps. Once we get current events out of the way, and I've got all Kay Baxter's memorial information for you because it was not in the paper, and I'll have all of that for you. And then the next thing I want to talk about, Kelly, is what we do if we get stung. How to deal with stings. Then also, if you have an interest in being a beekeeper, Kelly's got some information about that. And we will continue with all the things we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. So stay with us. Animal World continues. Current events is next, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. They've always got great sales going on, so it's always worth a trip to Marysville to visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Are you ready for the next revolution in pet nutrition? Jackson Hole biochemist Kevin Meehan developed Mulligan Stew's patented formula through scientific research into cellular nutrition. The end result is a cutting-edge pet food that is uniquely formulated with quality ingredients and proper manufacturing methods to help your pets live longer, healthier lives and provide effective cellular detoxification. Mulligan Stew is now available in select specialty pet stores. Go to MulliganStewPetFood.com and find out why Mulligan Stew Pet Food is the pet food with a purpose.
Hey, if you've got dogs and cats, you need to know about my friends out of the Academy of Canine Behavior and their great cattery. They're in Bothell. Now, they are located just off of 405 north of the 522 interchange. They've got the best doggy daycare center I've ever seen. It's huge. They do a fabulous job. And if you travel that north 405 corridor to and from work, easy to pop off the freeway and drop your dog off at the Academy for daycare, pick them up on the way home. And, gee, when you get home, you can just kick back, put your feet up. All you do is feed your dog. Don't have to exercise them. They're worn out from daycare all day. They also do free behavior consultations, so give them a call. It's the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell, 425-486-9567, or visit them online, www.aocb.com, and tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Right now, we're taking a little break from our bees and wasps as it's time for current events. Entertainment here. Well, let's see. First off, I've got an email here from Kelly from Meow that says they missed me at their big Meow auction, Fine Wines and Felines, their wine tasting and chocolate last night. I didn't make it, but apparently Kelly says the auction was a huge success. And she's thanking us for our support and spreading the word. So that's fabulous. They had a great Fine Wine and Felines last night. Glad to hear it. All right, now, we got a bunch of stuff going on. Current events, the third annual Golf for the Animals is July 26th. That's a benefit for feral cat spay and neuter. And I don't know if you can still register for that or not, but you could check it out at feralcatproject.org. Mark your calendars for October 4th, the annual Humane Society Walk for the Animals, be at the University Village. Let's see, the Colors of Compassion fundraising event, art event and fundraiser for Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project goes on through August 9th. And if you want more information, feralcatproject.org. Let's see, there's going to be another golf charity tournament to benefit Equine Rescue Association at Cedar Crest Golf Course in Marysville. That will be August 24th. It is a shotgun start at 1 p.m. And if you want more information, you can go to the Equine Rescue Association website. And you can get all of the information for all of these events on the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on
current events. Remember, there are two websites now that if you can remember to click on them every day, that you will help feed animals for free. One is the Feed an Animal for Free. You'll find that on My Current Events. The other one is the one we added a couple weeks ago for the gal in Oregon that is feeding dogs and cats at shelters, and you go to the website every day and play the Bow Wow Trivia. Freekibble.com is the website. All right, then we have got all of Kay's memorial information here. I've got several things to tell you about. Her obituary is supposed to be in all the papers today, the Times PI and the Everett Herald and the Skagit County Herald. The one that's running in the Seattle Times PI does not have the memorial information, so I will give you all of that. It is the public memorial is a potluck for Kay. It will be on Sunday, August 3rd at 1 p.m. Kay, of course, for any of you that don't know, was the founder and director of Sarvey Wildlife Rescue and Care Center in Arlington. She passed away on the 4th of July as a result of the cancer she'd been dealing with for some time. And, God, what an incredible woman. And I can tell you, I don't know if Sandy's available on August 3rd, but I will be, I will head up after the show on August 3rd. I definitely want to be there to celebrate Kay's life. It will be at River Meadows Park North Shelter. And I'm going to give you the address, so get ready to write. And don't panic, you can't write it down, because you can always get it to my website later to get it. But River Meadows Park North Shelter, 20416 Jordan Road in Arlington. 20416 Jordan Road in Arlington, and that's 98223. And all of these events and details are on the Sarvey website, which is www.sarveywildlife.org, S-A-R-V-E-Y, sarveywildlife.org. Let's see. Now, the next issue for Sarvey, and this is important, in order to save the rescue and care center, here's the deal. The property that the center sits on needs to be purchased by the Wildlife Center. They need to raise $400,000 to buy all 5 acres. There are actually two properties that split. One is the house, which is most urgent to buy because Kay was doing a reverse mortgage on that, you know, to live. And so that needs to be bought out. And Kay's son, John, who is the one that's responsible for dealing with all of this, is trying to help them pull this off. But it is a burden financially, so they need donations big time. The second is the land the center sits on. That needs to be purchased too. They have been working for the last year to get the funding for this, but it is slow going. This is an urgent situation, so if anyone can help, please contact Kay's son. That's John, and the phone number is 360-435-4817, or you can email Jeff at sarveywildlife.org. Now, along that same line, there will be an art show to benefit Sarvey in August 17th. It's an opportunity for artists that includes everyone from photographers, sculptors, weavers, pottery, and jewelry makers to knitters and anybody else to participate in a fundraiser for Sarvey Wildlife Rescue Center. It is at Kirsten Gallery. Kirsten Gallery. 5330 Roosevelt Way Northeast in Seattle. They will host the art show benefiting Sarvey on Sunday, August 17th from 1 to 4 p.m. in their gallery garden. The afternoon will include a presentation of on Birds of Prey by Freedom the Eagle and Jeff. So if you want to meet Freedom and Jeff, you can actually come to this. There will also be other Sarvey volunteers and other feathered residents from Sarvey. During the hours of the benefit, Rick said that the proceeds from any gallery sales will be donated to Sarvey. Participants are asked to supply their own displays And if you need more information here, then go to the Sarvey website, sarveywildlife.org, and all of these events are listed on the homepage, and you can open it up for more stuff. So that is it for current events. Next week, of course, is the last Sunday of the month. That means it is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. We'll be doing our usual thing. We'll talk to Mollywood Avian Sanctuary. We'll talk to Equine Rescue Association, Ginger's Pet Rescue. And Ginger will have a list of great dogs needing forever homes. And we will spend extra time with Leslie, the manager of Sarvey Wildlife Rescue, so she can catch us up on all of the wild creatures up there and what's going on with the babies and what they need help with. But she'll also be able to give us all the details about Kay's Memorial on August 3rd. So you'll definitely want to be here next week. So there you go. That wraps up current events. I'll tell you what, we're just about at the end of this hour, so I think we will go ahead and close out this hour. We will run our fleas tip. It is obviously summer's here, weather's warm, fleas are hatching. If you would like to deal with your flea problem, like the wasps, without toxic chemicals, then you want to listen to Martha's four-step flea plan. That will run next. Then we've got another hour with Kelly and Doug. If you'd like to get in line, you can certainly give us a call now. We'll have open phone lines, 425-373-